Okay, let's finish up Genesis chapter 3. Let me share my screen, and then we'll get to a parable as soon as we finish up Genesis chapter 3. I want to get a lot of chatter. I did an upgrade to whatever Windows version it is, and it turned everything black. I don't know how to get some color back in this thing. I just...
You know, Windows 11?
Yeah, it's Windows 11. Things change or whatever. Change. All right, so this is going to be a quick review. In fact, I'm preaching this at Cloverdale today. It all started here. It all started in the garden. We'll just do some quick review and some last... I got some key points here as we go through this. Don't fall for the tricks. He's tricky. Don't fall for the tricks. When you screw up, the last thing you want to do is run away from God. You want to run to God.
Amen.
You can go after the right thing the wrong way. I know that. Know and answer the key questions. There's like several of them in this story. You can't hide from His love.
Hallelujah.
He gives you free choice or whatever, but you can't hide from His love. All right?
Yeah.
And it's good to know He'll be there if ever you fall. If ever you, it'd be nice if I add the word fall in there. But it's better to know that you don't have to fall at all, which is an old whining song. If I have time, I'll play it for you. All right. As we looked at it before, again, we're just going to do, my notes are up there, but we'll just do the review. Now, the serpent was more subtle, which means he's tricky. His nature is one of being a liar and a trickster. All right? So stop having conversations with him. All right. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had met God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. We talked about this last week. This is just review. He always poses questions to raise doubt, to cause us to doubt the word of God. And he always puts a negative spin on it. You can eat from every tree from the garden except for two. Are you kidding me? That's good. Focus on what you have more than what's missing. And it'd be easier for you to not be deceived. I think I went through that earlier this week. I can't remember what was going on, but I was focusing on what I didn't have and didn't realize that I was ignoring all the good stuff that I did have. Oh, I know what it was. She's not in the class, I ain't got to worry about it. So last week I drove 7.5 hours to get to this place in Florida for this church thing. And it's Friday, because I was off on that Friday. But we got a whole lot of issues going on on the job at work. And so I'm calling these guys, kind of figure out what's going on with the project. Carolyn, technical guys. So the technical guys are trying to explain to me what's going on. I'm in the car, 7.5 hour drive, wife's there on speakerphone or whatever. We go through some things. And then I just want to kind of gossip with one guy because the project is just crazy. The leadership is just kind of, you know. So I'm like, I'm going to call one of my friends or whatever. We're just going to talk about them or whatever. So, you know, we talked about the problems with the project, what they should have done, what they're not doing, blah, blah, blah. And I called my boss or whatever to kind of find out what's going on with him and give him some direction. And then I called the other guy once again or whatever to get an update later on that day or whatever. Bottom line is I made about 5 phone calls on this 7.5 hour trip, probably amounting to about 1.5 hour, 45 minutes, certainly not more than 2 hours or whatever. But it's a great, pleasant trip, you know, praising God all the way down or whatever. And we get into the hotel room, and we had a suite. Oh, it was very nice. We had a whole little living room area there. She's got all these points, Marriott points. They rock. All right. And so we're in the room or whatever, and it's late at night after we got out of the first church service. I break out my laptop because I want to get directions for next night. And she comes, and she sits next to me, and she says, do you like me? Paul's smiling like, been there before. But anyway, so, do you like me? And I go, where is this coming from? What are you talking about? She goes, I didn't want to know whether you like me or not. And I'm like, again, where does it come from? This is a crazy question. I think it's a setup. I'm not going to answer this. So she goes, I just want to know. Because we're in the car and you spent an enormous amount of time on the telephone talking to other people rather than talking to me. And I said, in that 7.5 hour trip, well, you called the one guy 4 times. I said, I only called him 3. And I'm like, it was only for an hour, maybe 2 at the most. We still had 5.5 hours of conversation. And we did talk about stuff.
That's why you like a motorcycle.
Well, she talks to me on that too, because we got the headset thing. So when she's on the back, we still talk. So I'm getting ready to defend myself and say, just stop shaking your head, Carol. I'm getting ready to defend myself, and she's still in on this. She's like, what would you think if I was driving and I was on the phone like that? I'm like, I would think nothing at all. I'm not built like that. I'd probably take a nap.
Wrong answer.
So, after all of that, I say to myself, I just really think that this is a crazy person, alright? And then I started to want to defend myself again to prove her wrong, and the Spirit hit me. And I went back through the steps, and the Spirit said, look here, McFly. Isn't this what you pray for? Isn't this what you desire? Look at what you're doing. You're getting ready to argue with a person who wants to spend time with you. She wants to have a close relationship with you. She wants to enjoy this trip with you and not share you with anybody else. Do you really want to double down on stupid with this? So I'm just telling you, especially guys, because we get crazy and we don't get it. Focus and celebrate what you have. And don't worry so much about what might be missing or wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
If you don't celebrate what you got or something like that, you're a loser.
I didn't want to lose. So on the way back, 7.5 hours. Paul, I did not make one phone call. And I talked to my bride the whole way back. Now, I almost
ready to do it.
That's the way to do it. I know that's the way to do it. I got it. Now, I almost
ready.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you. Now, I almost ran into about 3 or 4 trees. Because talking to other people keep me awake. But that's okay. Anyway, I digress. Again, just review. Alright, so, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Alright. Eve just introduced false doctrine. It started there. Logically, that makes sense. But we talked about a parable where it says, sometimes what makes sense may not be godly. So, makes sense to say, to add some things in there, but God didn't, and it'll throw you off. Because if I can touch it, I might think it's okay to go further, rather than the other way around. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he's always got a little bit of truth wrapped around what he's doing to kind of suck you in. But this is the thing that really bothers me as I looked at this again. And I think we talked about it, but I just want to hit it again. Ye shall not surely die. That's a really bad problem that I see today. I don't want to offend anybody, but because I love everybody. God commands us to love everybody. But this is a problem. I don't know if you guys see it or not. Look at what's happening in the garden. It's the first time it's happened. But I think some of this still happens today. God says, I'm going to judge you, and judgment is coming if you do this. The devil says, don't worry about what God says. It's really not true. You can still do this and be okay. Does anybody see a problem with that? And do you see the trend that is happening now in the country, in the world, even in the church?
What's good is evil. What's evil is good.
Okay, I can't say anything.
That's the lie that's being propagated.
There you go. So while we love everybody, and God died for everybody, we have to be very careful that this lie does not get into our relationship with God. Because He's still God and He still has not changed. And while the society is embracing he's got around his waist. Anyway.
And a governor
board meeting. All right. Well, that's good. Oh, Norm, that is an awesome shirt.
And what? You can wear it 3 or 4 times.
I could probably wrap it around that about 3 or 4 times. Look at, I would just want you guys to look at Norm's shirt. That is an awesome shirt.
Just hanging in my closet.
Man. And then all of the guys look good. Look at Al is looking good. He's got something on there that's kind of nice. And Paul came in matching Black Will with his wife or whatever. She's going there. And Anthony. And Anthony's here. Okay, so that was.
The core group is here.
You missed a good Tennessee joke about the what it, not the crane fly though.
Well, somebody said they ought to call them the cicadas.
Just the cicadas.
Because they come out once every 15 to 20 years and make a lot of noise and then go away again.
And then 1 year it should be really good. <Yeah.
laughs> All right.
Hey Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Is this scriptural? I've heard, and you probably heard it too, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But it's not in scripture anymore, right?
No, but
the concept.
He died.
Said and done. Yeah.
No, not re- well. Not really.
How you to separate?
I follow the steps. I got to follow the steps because He died for us while we were still in sin. Still blind. And you see that even here in this story. So His grace and His mercy is just so awesome because God's not fair, and I'm glad He's not fair. So why would I put myself in a position that God doesn't even do from the standpoint of I'm not going to love you because you are a sinner or you're engaged in this, that, or the other? I have to love you, and I want to love you into the kingdom. And I want you in the class. I want you getting the word and the truth of God. And I want to love you into the kingdom. I'm not going to force your hand. God gives us free will.
Yes. But, I love you, but I hate your behavior.
Okay, there you go. That's all the way from childhood up to adult. Hey, which is why I'm going to smack you around a little bit because I love you. You're my son, but you're my daughter. But I'm not tolerating this, but I still love you. And I'll still bless you. I still want a relationship with you. I still want to love you. But I'm grieved over how you might see the world and those types of things. And so I just thought that was just so blatant. And you still see it today. The world is going around saying, you're not going to die. God is okay with this.
There's more than one way to get to heaven. I've seen that quote.
Have you really?
Yeah, you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen that bumper sticker that's got all these different symbols.
Oh, did like different religions? Symbols for different religions?
And
oh, that's universalism.
Yeah. Coexist or something like that.
Yeah. That's when I stopped listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire because they had the album cover All in All, and you open the album cover up, they had all the different symbols of different religions in there. I'm like, man, that ain't right.
I was going to tell you something. Wendy and I, we went to Tierney Ford to celebrate this past week.
Oh, did you not?
Dr. Jeremiah. And guess what he preached on?
Oh, he's end times, I'm sure.
Matthew 24, all the discord. Yeah. I said, yes.
Well, yes. If we get through Genesis 3, make sure you got good notes because I am referring to David Jeremiah.
Genesis 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The reason why it has taken me so long to get past Genesis 3 and to get to Matthew 24, which is where we are in the next parable with the fig tree, is because you can't go, I'm sorry, David, you can't go through that easily surface level because there's so much cross-reference because he's talking end time.
Yeah.
He is really talking end time. And I picked up on some David's, because David Jeremiah, and I have never done an in-depth study, analysis of Revelation. I really, that's on my bucket list to do. But you can't do the feast and the seven steps without having a good overall general awareness of Revelation. So we're going to do that. And you can't talk about Matthew 24 without talking about Daniel 9. And you can't talk about Matthew 24 without talking about Revelation 19 and Revelation 6 and Revelation 7. And you just can't. And you can't do it without talking about 1 Thessalonians. And you can't do it without doing about Zechariah. I mean, you know, so that's why I have dragged my feet and get into that parable, because it's taken me a couple of weeks just to reacclimate myself and go through all these scriptures to say, this is what he's saying, and it's just so deep, and it's scary, and he's telling us, don't be scared. Don't be scared. All right, anyway, thank you for getting us off track. All right, so now, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay, and so we talked about this before. 1 John chapter 2, three things still gets us in trouble. The lust of the flesh. Woo! It looks good, feels good. Lust of the eyes. I want it. I want to drive that. I want to live there. And the pride of life. It's awesome how in Genesis it all started there. Those same three things. And the key here is she did not wait on God. She wanted a good thing. I want to be like God. I want to know what God knows. I want to know the difference between good and evil. But she went after it the wrong way. I wish I could talk to some young people about going after something good the wrong way. Well, the devil didn't lie to them on everything. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, I want to pause. I don't know. Somebody stopped me the other day and said, do you know what fig leaves are like? And I'm like, I'll do figs. You know, and she goes, they're itchy, they're scratchy, they irritate you. It's like the last thing you would want to have, you know,
around your body
is a fig leaf. Wow.
Yeah.
Is there any application for us today? Man, the things we do to try to cover up should be an irritation to us.
We got a fig tree in our yard, and those
leaves
aren't that big either.
Yeah. thank you much. That's just a lot of irritation. All right. Man, you know, if you ever get a chance, why don't you bring one in so we can see what it looks like?
I won't wear it. I'll bring it in.
They're falling off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
You can't
leave
your falling off when you're wearing them on. Yeah.
All right, moving on. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And we talked about this. This is the first cover-up.
Hey, Chuck, can we
have gotcha, gotcha, yeah. I gotcha. I gotta figure out what that is. All right. Yeah. And so, hold on just a minute here. So, the first cover-up. All this started. The first cover-up. Fear. And we talked about fear. All right. I love this question. God walking in the garden looking for them. Why? When he already knows what happened. Grace. Mercy. Opportunity to make it right. What an awesome God. And he still comes down walking in the garden looking for us, asking those questions that bring us back into repentance. In fact, one of the songs we'll be singing at Cloverdale today as I preach this is, I come to the garden alone, where the dew and still on the roses, and the joy we share as we tarry there. Anyway, so I don't have to review that. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. Say that. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. Come on, Matt. None other has ever known. Oh, praise God. Okay, good. Amen. We have hymns every Sunday. And when you're trying to get to hymns, I'm trying to break away from some of them. All right, here we go. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? I know this is review, but so as I'm driving down the road 7.5 hours with my wife, guess what question came up? Where are you? Not where am I with him. Where are you in your relationship with your wife? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, I love this question. We talked about this last week, so I don't want to spend too much more time. And he said, who told you that you were naked? And I just love that question. I never looked at this before because God didn't have a problem with him being naked. So who told you that you got an issue that I don't have an issue with? Who told you you weren't good enough when I say you are? Who told you you weren't worthy? Who told you you weren't clean? You got to be careful who we're talking to. Has thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou should not eat? He already knows the answer. It's just so amazing to me. He already knows he ate it. Of course, as we get into the review section, we know what happened here. He blamed a woman. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the key things. We have to take responsibility for our part in why we are in flawed or made a mistake or not in good relationship with God. And the man said, the woman thou gavest me, yeah, it's God's fault. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. All right. The first family drama starts right there in the garden. Notice the questions are necessary in order for us to help us to confess and come out of hiding. He asks the questions so that they will come out of hiding. And he still asks questions today so that we will come out of hiding. I still don't know. Well, I hope we stop hiding. All right.
We think we're really hiding.
I don't think we know we're hiding sometimes. Because they were hiding behind the trees in the garden. And so whatever's in the garden today, whatever in our garden today, that's what we'll run behind and hide. I'll hide behind my job. I'll hide behind my self-righteousness. I'll hide behind the fact that there's still 5 hours in the car. What are you chirping about? You know, I'll hide behind a variety of different things. And until somebody poses me or the Spirit poses me with a question, I might still be hiding behind things. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's nowhere to be found here. No comfort in that. Oh, that's the whole thick leaf thing. you know, I'm not going to find too much comfort in the fig leaf for very long. I don't think that was one of the leaves that's on the Fruit of the Loom brand. But anyway. Verse 14, the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Good. I don't like snakes anyway. And I will put enmity, that's hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Here is your first gospel. First good news. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There you go. Symbolism of Christ. The crucifixion and the defeat at the grave of the enemy.
Jeff.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to share with you, I was in a woman's, was able to go to a woman's
be very, you know, you need to kind of open up a can here, because that's kind of interesting, because Satan's temptation is for us to love the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's a trickster and a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can't have a good conversation with him because he hates you. You know, why would you want to have a conversation with somebody who hates you? And so I had to be very careful, because I used to take my, and it's probably worse now, the deception. You got to be careful what you're walking into. Because I wanted to turn my kid into a great athlete so that he could have the riches and the fame and the glory of the world. And I'm listening to those voices in my head or whatever, and the fame or whatever that I'm looking for, and it's not that there's anything wrong in trying to gain those types of things in the field of athletics or scholarship or those types of things. That's not it. It's when that becomes the whole, the end all, and the primary purpose. And then you go after what God will bless you with the wrong way. It becomes the idol. So now I'm doing idol worship, but I don't even know it. Because I'm more concerned with my son being Michael Jordan than I am being David the King, a man after God's own heart, which is why I named him David in the first place. And I just did not realize that lie or that deception is being worked in right here. And just as we see people in society being deceived about what Paul said accurately, what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right.
And we're seeing it right now. It's pretty overt. All the things going after our children. Just look what's happening as far as plus being taught in schools, that type of thing.
Yep.
I mean, he's going after our kids big time, and he's not hiding it.
And he always has been, and we see it throughout history, because remember, Pharaoh is a type of Satan, Egypt a type of the world, and God moves when he starts killing all the kids, or at least all the male kids. And so it's really the male seed that is really at greater risk than anybody else.
You know, I would say that a woman can defeat Satan. A woman's prayers for her children to God becomes an intercede. It's very powerful.
I grew up in a church where you know, Sunday morning somebody would say Big Mama's prayers or Granny's prayers or whatever, you know, it's still working. I'm in prison ministry, man. You talk to some of those guys and say, yeah, somebody's praying for me because I was out there. Thank God for Mom's prayers to get me in. So, all right. Unto the woman I said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I like what Dan Guzik said here in my notes. Now the curse on Eve makes it much harder for her to submit and flow with God's instructions of male headship in the home. I know that might not be a popular statement. But God is still a God of order. And he called Adam out first because Adam is supposed to be the head of the home. He's supposed to be priest of the house.
Yeah.
And now this just made it a whole lot difficult for us, for women or anybody else to submit to that leadership when you've got this going on in the garden. I also use this in marriage counseling. So when I get ready to counsel a couple before I get ready to marry them or whatever, I'll ask them the question. And I'll say, and I think I probably asked it here before, and I'll ask it again. And I'll ask, I'll ask a couple, well, why do you want to get married? Oh, because he makes me feel good. I love being around him. And I'll ask him, I said, why are you laughing at me? I'll ask him, I said, why do you want to be married? Oh, because he makes me feel good. And I'm like, I didn't shake my head. I'm like, y'all in big trouble. Because I remember when I first got married, and I said some of those same things, and after a while, after about 6 months of this, I'm like, I don't feel good anymore, and I don't want him to be there when I come home. So then I asked him a question. What do you think the most important thing that a woman desires? And sometimes the answer is protector and provider. All right, those are good answers, but that's not it. It is the relationship. It is the romance. And then I'll go and I'll ask and rarely does a guy get it right. It's amazing. It is rare that any of the people that I've ever counseled, any of the guys that I've ever counseled, it is rare that they ever get that question right.
Maybe why they were in counseling.
Yeah.
Verse 17.
Chuck,
yes.
You know, in today's world, we see a lot of problems are that men are not taking a leadership role.
I don't know where Adam was when she was talking to the servant, but he should have been on it. Hey.
And it's even going on today. You see that in our world.
Absolutely. Another trick of the enemy to pull, again, Miriam, think about this. Satan is attacking the children of Israel, trying to curtail their future, trying to stop the male seed from coming into Christ, from coming into the woman's seed, all right, by killing all of the male children. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing some of the same things or whatever, where the enemy is trying to take men out of the picture. But we haven't opened our eyes enough to be able to see what's going on. I love my dad. My dad's in heaven. Got him saved before he died. My mom, and I had this conversation with her yesterday. she's having a little dementia issue or whatever, but she still remembers the first day that she got me saved and bought me my first Bible, a Scofield. And we must have talked about 30 minutes about the Scofield Bible, and how Scofield Bible is the best Bible in the world, and all the rest of this stuff. You know, it probably ain't, but it was at the time or whatever. And she remembers, and my mom gave me my first Bible, and my mom was the person who took us to church that allowed me to be saved.
Amen. It was the mother.
It was the mom. Mm-hmm. Her prayer.
What was the dad?
My dad, I remember my dad gave me my first drink. I was about 4 years old, I think, and, you know, I had a little cup of beer on the table, and his buddies were sitting there watching me, and I was drinking a little beer, and I was doing all kinds of little flips and turns in the middle of the living room floor. He didn't know. He didn't know. He just didn't know. So my dad gives me my first drink, and my mom gives me my first Bible. Something's not quite right with that. God bless me. He just didn't know anybody. And yet, here I am trying to turn my son into Michael Jordan. He's tricky. I'll leave it at that. That's why I need those steps. And then when I do my counseling, I ask the woman. And it's here in verse 17. In verse 17, and that's Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, see, there's a right way and a wrong way to love your wife, too. Am I really loving her if I do everything that she says for me to do?
No.
And he threw her under the bus, like.
Okay. All right. Of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Man, this is just vanity. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That ain't a very happy future. I like what Dan Music says once again. Cursed is the ground because of Adam. Before the curse on man, the ground only produced good. After the curse, it still produced good. But now you gotta deal with thorns and thistles. And if you and Jimmy ain't here, but if you whenever you cut your lawn and it looks just as pretty and just as good, those stupid weeds will outgrow my good grass and they pop up first.
And some of them come up as flowers and look pretty.
Still a weed. Still invasive. All right. So I'll usually ask a woman in the counseling, I'll say, hey, do you know the most important thing that drives a man? You know, I can't cook, so food is probably high on the list for me. But they'll say things like, well, now I will say this, women normally get this question right more frequently than men do, for certain. And it is respect. Is there any guy in here who thinks that respect, is there something that's more important to us than respect? Not a one here. You're going to have a really hard time and some bumps in your relationship if you don't understand that the woman is driving for affection and relationship, and the guys are driven off of respect.
That's right.
And the deception and the curse is still there, because we think that we like to create things, and we like for people to be able to pat us on the back from the things that we have created.
We like the respect. Just do. So whenever there's a relationship and there's a lack of respect in the relationship for the guy, you don't have a problem. The guy, you just don't have a problem with the guy. If they go on motorcycle rides and they want to go and shoot off a bunch of bullets or whatever because they don't want to be around you, you better be careful, because it is the respect thing that drives things. I'll share this story. I got a good friend, and he got caught in sin. And he was comfortable in it. And he came down for training, and was in town, and I took him out to lunch or whatever, and I said, man, I just don't understand how you can do this. How are you going to have extramarital relationships with one or two different people? Wife is beautiful. You know, I know you have the Holy Spirit in you. How is it that you can get into this kind of, you know, on a continuous basis? And he says, I probably told this book. He says, I turned the Holy Spirit off. I said, how do you turn off the Holy Spirit? Before I really knew how to do the steps or whatever. And I'm like, he's a powerful man of God. And he goes, I just think about how difficult and how hard it is at home with my wife. How I don't get the respect in the home. And these other people will come up to me and they'll respect me and they'll celebrate me. And I just turn off the spirit and I focus on what they're doing and what's not happening in my home. And it makes it easier for me to sin. In fact, Chuck, you and I probably don't need to have this conversation anymore, because I might lead you astray as well. We really have to understand each other, and all of this is taking place and starting right here in the garden. I wish I could tell every new married couple before they get married, you need to understand how these things are working. And then here's the problem that I see with some people after we do this. Who took on the curse for us so that we are no longer under the curse of the law?
Jesus.
And one of the problems that I see is, this is how I am. I'm a guy. This is how I am. I'm a woman. You need to understand how I am. Okay, I understand how you are. But do you want me to understand how you are so that you can stay like you are? Don't you want to be free from the curse? And how many of us as guys have run to our jobs and our work and those things or whatever, and we find more solace and more peace in that than we do in establishing that relationship? One of the great things that the military taught me was it gave me the opportunity to look at my life and retire at a relatively young age. Rather than wait until I'm 60 or 65 to get the gold watch and kind of reflect on, oh, what have I done all these years? The military allowed me to do that before I really turned 40. And I sat back and I asked myself, what have I done? I've been spent all this time in the military, and this has been my life, and this is what I've been working for, trying to make rank and all the rest of these things. What's the greatest thing I've ever done for the military? And as I did that self-reflection and answered that question, it had nothing to do with my rank or what I achieved or the weapon systems I helped dig out. Those were important things, but they weren't the most important. The best thing I ever did for the Air Force was I got into a relationship with a young man, and I mentored him, and I led him to the Lord, and I never was a pilot. I hate flying half the time as it is, but I flew missions with that young man in Bosnia. I preached about him at this church one time, Antonio Cortez, because every time he went on a mission, his mentor was behind him. That's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life for the Air Force. You think about it now. What's the thing that you're most proud of? What's the greatest thing that you've done in your life up until this point? I promise you, it won't be the money, it won't be the house that's paid off, it won't be the car that you're driving, it'll be something centered around the relationship that you had with others that probably led them to a relationship with Christ. It all started here. When we focus too much on the world and our jobs and those types of things, we miss the opportunity, and it's all going to be wasted. I can't tell you how many years I've wasted. I'm not saying you don't do your job and do your job well. And I don't say you don't enjoy the job. But it is not the most, it is not the end all and be all of life. Which is why, Al, I'm retiring as soon as I get my time in, I'm retiring. Not because I don't like my job. Not because I'm frustrated, but I am. But because it's getting around tax, I'm starting to think about my doggone income taxes again. It seems like I just got through paying my income taxes. Time is going swiftly. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure that my time that is spent on the other side of the hill is for His glory.
Amen.
So I can have somebody at my funeral, hopefully I get raptured before that, but like Payne Stewart, the great golfer. I know I said this before, I saw his funeral, oh man, awesome. Great husband, great father, lover of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go out like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys got quiet on me, so let me keep going. All right. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Because Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Alright, verse 23. I'm running out of time, so I need to do this quickly. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That's how you know the devil is not for you. He is your enemy. He hates you. Because he should have took the tree of life. Then he could have lived forever as a dummy. Anyway, therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Does God want us to go eat of the tree of life? Scripture says he does, but we have to do it the way that he has outlined. Follow the plan. Follow the steps. So now, question as we get ready to close out this. Like we talked about before, I haven't seen any talking circles swing by the living room lately. But these conversations that Eve had with the enemy, they still take place today. We answered that question last week. Where do they take place at? In the mind. Who are the serpents today? They could be other people, they could be other agents that God, that the enemy is working through, and they may not even know it. When the questions, when we start having those conversations with the enemy, what should we do? This is really where Jesus, just do what Jesus did, really comes into play. How do you think Jesus would have handled that conversation? Well, how did he handle the conversation when he's in the wilderness? You have to know the Word of God. And you have to be patient and wait on God. Don't take the easy way out that the enemy offers. I can't say it any different or better. Maybe somebody else can. But I believe that every day we start to have this conversation with the other guy. And if we know how to defeat him, we should be having more victory parties rather than being tricked out of what God wants us to have. Does God want us to have good relationships? Absolutely. Yes. God wants us to have blessed marriages. I was looking at the sign in my bathroom as my wife was doing my hair. Whenever you see my hair done, I'm doing good with my wife. She takes a whole lot of time to do this hair, I'll tell you. Do you want me to do your hair today? You got some loose ends in the back. I'm like, started looking at my car. Man, I got something to do. I got something to know. I got to run it out. I want to ride my motorcycle to church today. It's going to take me more time. I don't have time for this. It's getting late. Yes, dear. Please do my hair. Because that relationship is more important than the things that I need and want to do in the world. Every day I have some kind of conversation where I got to go back through these steps. And how can I become a victor? I don't want to lose anymore. I don't want to get tricked anymore. Even with the 7.5 hour trip, I don't want to get tricked out of the peace that he says I can have. I'm following my steps. You know, cut these conversations short.
I see.
Woo! All right. Any other thoughts or comments about this lesson? You guys are quiet. Did it help anybody?
When he starts talking to me, I just resist the devil and he will flee. And I tell him to get the heck out of my house, too. Sometimes I just yell at him.
Yeah.
There you go. That's why I don't invite Al over too much. Anyway.
What you trying to say? I'm the devil?
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to say that. You're my brother.
You know, Jeff, you were talking about your Air Force career, you know, yeah. And what, you know, I was in the command position for the last 8 years, and, you know, sometimes in those positions you have to take disciplinary action on folks. And there's a young airman in Crete that we had a DWI, I had to give an Article 15, which is a disciplinary action. You know, I was pretty hard on that. Was take a strike, money, and all that.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, I really believe that was rehabilitative. We were trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
Didn't know if it had worked or not, but after I retired, I was over at that fitness club that I was running, and they said, hey, there's a visitor downstairs. And this young kid knew I was in Montgomery. I don't know how he knew that. And stopped in to say hello.
Wow.
And to me, that kind of answered, you know, as far as being a leader, you know, was I setting the right example for this kid? You know, because you got his act together and
good.
Did well.
And I have an example of, I got to go, but I've got a painful example of being in a leadership position as a deck commander in ROTC. And a young man came up to me and said, I said, hey man, you are flunking out. I'm going to disenroll you. I'm going to kick you. You're not going to be an officer if you don't get your grades up. What's going on? And he told me, well, you know, I got a drinking problem. I'm like, man, you are a college kid. I know what that is all about. Yeah, I was a college kid too. You don't have a drinking problem. You're just a problem drinker. Mm-hmm. You drink on the weekends or whatever, like I used to drink on the weekends or whatever. Don't worry about it. Get your act together or whatever, blah, blah, blah. He didn't get his act together, and I had to disenroll him. Never became an officer. Had great officer potential. Dad was a colonel. I know it broke his dad's heart. 20, 30 years later, kid shows up back in Montgomery. Got to sit down and talk to him. He remembered. Of course he remembered. I kicked you out. He said, remember that night in your apartment when you counseled me and you said I didn't have a drinking problem? I said, yeah. Yeah. He said, you were wrong. I was an alcoholic. You misdiagnosed that. How did I miss that, Al? Pride.
Yeah.
Know-it-all. Thinking that everything that happened in my life is going to happen the way that happened in your life or whatever, being presumptuous, not really listening, always thinking I got to have the answers because that's how guys roll. It was only a couple years later that the guy died of an overdose sitting in the parking lot of some gas station. It's not my fault. He took the route that he took. But I could have had a much greater impact if I knew what I knew back then, what I know now, if I knew those steps. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to make up for those missed opportunities.
And Satan probably is in your mind telling you it was your fault over and over.
I ain't believing that lie. I'm giving, and even if it was my fault, oh, the blood. Mm-hmm. And I do like Dina says, you got to get out of here.
You know, it was a pride thing, because at the time he told you he had a problem, you said, well, I did that. You know, if you had said, yeah, you do have a drinking problem, then you would have had that be admitting that maybe you thought you did too, because the pattern, behavior pattern.
Could be. Just know it all, I have all the answers. Yeah. And that can even get into the church and Bible study. Somebody might ask you a question, oh, I'm a Bible study teacher, I got to be able to have an answer to that. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I study the word just like everybody else studies the word.
Mm-hmm.
All right, got to go. Matthew 24. Next week, you can prepare. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, that's the introduction to the next lesson on the parable of the fig tree. What we're going to be analyzing, and the reason why this is going to be so interesting, is because we got to figure out what all these things are. So you have to go back to the beginning of Matthew 24. So if you want to get ahead, read Matthew 24, and we will break that up and start on that lesson next week if Jesus tarries. Are there any questions as we go forward?